It's time for the Cheap and Chaz Power Half Hour. Welcome one, welcome all to the best and only podcast that features our League of Record Chief. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I've been better, Chaz. It's been a hell of a day.
Yeah. I saw the WhatsApp. You got yourself a ton of information coming out in these first few weeks. I mean, you're probably one of the busiest people that just took a new job ever.
That's probably accurate. LBJ taking over for JFK comes to mind. As president. Or any president, really, who takes over for a president who's just died. I think I'm right up there with all those presidents. I think that's accurate.
Okay. So why don't we start the week off with a quick recap, your general observations for last week's matchups, which was the week five matchups. We talked going in that we figured, hey, listen, all the top teams are facing all the bad teams. If things all go chalk, then things are going to be pretty bad, but that's not what happened.
Thankfully we have some parity restored to the league this week. I think it was interesting. I think the tie watch, very underrated tie watch, Johnny pulling out a win over Joe and Claire. That was something when you think about just what Johnny had to overcome in that tie watch to get the win. He was down by four, and all he had was Ingram left. And Joe O'Brien had the number one player in fantasy through 4 weeks, and plus a pass catching running back in a game where his team was trailing for most of the game. And so it was really quite remarkable that Johnny pulled that one out. I think it's one of the more improbable tie watch victories I think we've ever had in the league. It was really something to see. And I would agree. It knocks Joe O'Brien down to 3-2. It keeps Johnny alive. So that was something. That was a big win that could really change the outlook of the league. I think the playoff race has evened out a little bit. Mike suffers his first loss. Joe Mancuso, gets a win that, even he admitted he was a little lucky to get with only 101 points. Mm-hmm. But nobody's undefeated now. We've got a couple 3-2 teams in the mix. Some 3-1 teams are now 3-2. Some 2-2 teams are 3-2, like me. I think I'm the only one that went from 2-2 to 3-2. Evened out a little bit. And I think that with some of the injuries that happened to Joe Mancuso this week and Ingram being back to chip at Kamara's obscene value, I think maybe the top two teams came back to earth a little bit this week.
They do, and we're even better bolstered by the fact that the top two teams in Beanpole Prime and Tinkle Outside the Binkle, but the original Beanpole team, the tandem, are going against each other. So that means that you're only going to have 1-5-1 team. So that all of a sudden that all of a sudden what we thought was all just a few. Like one, maybe two playoff spots up for grabs. All of a sudden, that starts to create some distance between all those different players. So maybe we see a light opening at the end of the tunnel for maybe a third playoff team to still be undecided.
Potentially, I think if you had knocked off Tim, I think that definitely would have been the case. But now Tim is at 4-1.
I came so close. Third highest scorer, playing the second highest scorer, and Adrian Peterson gets hurt, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh wow, maybe I get this. And he comes back in for like one or two more plays and manages to do it. So, it's frustrating. I can't remember specifically if there was a lineup decision. I think there was if I had played Alfred Morris, right?
If you had played Alfred Morris over Sneed, you would have won.
I would have gotten it. But it's like, with Breida being the way he is, and now all of a sudden now if Breida's out this week, then Morris seems to be the guy. So obviously I'll start Morris this week. It's just, it is what it is. You can't win them all. Yeah. So. With that, I wanted to kind of resurrect, basically, I don't know if it's necessarily of the week, but, you made a bad decision award that you're so famous for, Because you have a sterling candidate that has now appeared that you really want to give this award to. I'm
Yeah,
interested.
I want to resurrect this because it brought back some good memories talking about it in the chat this week. I used to, as part of the weekly observations, I would dole out a couple awards. I forget what the other ones were, but I think the one that everybody kind of honed in on was the "You Made a Bad Decision" award, where I would just shame somebody publicly. So I think the first person, instead of doing it just for week five, we're doing this for the first 5 weeks, and this person will hold the trophy until somebody else knocks them off.
Well, that f 5 weeks is that number five is important, I
Well,
think, to the
I mean
award.
it is, but in week six, if somebody makes an atrocious lineup decision that costs them a matchup, I will take it away and give it to somebody else. But for the first 5 weeks, I think it's as much as Gelch made terrible bench decisions for the first 5 weeks, we're giving this one to Johnny, because just horrible, horrible, horrible luck in dropping people from his roster who immediately get picked up and then just proceed to go off. We were looking at some of the names earlier today. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Gio Bernard, Robbie Anderson, and Nyheim Hines. I mean, it's uncanny. I wonder if this is where Johnny's bad luck has now transferred to. Instead of just having good regular season teams and then getting bad luck in the playoffs, it's now transferred to his bench, where it's like, okay, he's going to have good players on his bench, but he's not going to be able to have get rid of them all. So I think this is where Johnny's luck has transferred. Snake
Quite
bitten on the waiver
possibly,
wire.
if you're familiar with how you met your mother, I would start calling Johnny the Blitz with that reference. But honestly, Johnny, I just want to say I appreciate your sacrifice because two of those five players now reside on my team in Tyler Lockett and Robbie Anderson. Both were guys that I really liked coming into the season and I targeted as part of my strategy. So I'm okay with that.
I think the other two, Nyheim Hines and Calvin Ridley, are on Tim's team, correct? So it was very,
I
very,
believe so,
very
yeah.
nice of Johnny to donate that to Tim, his best man.
To
I
contribute,
mean,
yep.
I guess that's kind of a good best man gift, in a sense. You wrap up a couple fantasy wins for being the best man. I don't think that's such a bad trade-off.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, so let's start taking a look at the matchups coming up for this week. We always start with mine, so I'm going to skip mine and move on to one of the, I think, well, you know, it's I think this is the biggest, let me just double check. I believe this is the biggest disparity in the win differences. Yes, this is the biggest disparity. So we'll start off with Milk Sucks and Cat versus Tim, 4-1 and 1-4. So again, this could be one of those ones where Tim can separate himself from the pack and be up there with the winner of the Beanpole Prime matchup, or Cattle sneak another one away, and all of a sudden, she's at 2-4 going into rivalry week, and then anything can happen.
I think Tim still looks good in this one. Man, Alex Collins, it's just been a rough go for Cat with Alex
Yep.
Collins. It's brutal. McCoy, I think he had an okay game last week. But man, those running
Yeah,
backs
I
are just
mean,
the suck of energy right now.
she would definitely benefit from those McCoy to the back to the Eagles rumors. I think her trade that she made with you, in the long term is the best move for her, because I still think Kareem Hunt's on the upswing. Obviously, OBJ can go off, but just I feel like there's a lot of volatility with that offense right now, and so I'd much prefer having Hunt and then getting Demaryius Thomas, who should be at least consistent. Obviously not the best matchup this week with the Rams, but if Cooks is not able to go, or sorry, what am I? No, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of the Rams offense, so that actually helps Kupp and the other players there. I mean, it's just one of those things where on paper her team is a decent team. It's just any given week, are they going to get it done? Obviously, her tight end crapped the bed last week. Her new tight end is going up against Jacksonville. I don't think that's going to end up being good. So she really needs a Carson Wentz game to come back, for him to come back to his true form. And she needs Tim to I think she needs to score 120 points to have a shot, and obviously that didn't even work for me last week. So I don't see a way that she can win this match.
It's going to be tricky. You know, you have to hope for. I mean that. Yeah, so Tim's got Tom Brady in this matchup, and I think that's going to be a shootout in Kansas City. Brady could be in line for a really big day. We'll see if Adrian Peterson is able to go. I haven't really kept up with any reports out of Washington if he's going to be able to play. And it's weird. He's so game flow dependent. You know, and you don't know how that's going to go if Carolina's going to be able to put up a lot of points. Is Chris Thompson even going to be healthy? He got banged up a little bit too. So some interesting things going on there. AJ Green against Pittsburgh could be a shootout as well. The Bengals and Steelers both have had decent offenses this year. So it's going to take a lot for Cat, but you never know. Like you could see Will Fuller having a couple touchdowns. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Antonio Brown having a big day, Hunt having a big day. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's going to take a lot for Cat to overcome Tim this week.
Yeah. Now, and also this is an important game because I believe this is her last chance to win back her naming rights. Correct.
You'd have to clarify that one with Joe. He knows the rules in that sense, but I think that is correct. Mm-hmm. I think we said that she could beat either or Joe or Tim, but you'd have to check with him on that, but I'm pretty sure that that's true.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next matchup. Our 2-4-1 teams, or two of our 3-4-1 teams with Mike Versen going against Joe. I mean, obviously this is the matchup we've been waiting for, given the way things have turned out. It's just going to be a shootout. If this is a pick 'em to me, I'm picking Joe. You know, obviously he had the IR placement of Ajayi, but he already had Clement on his bench. I don't think it actually hurt them that badly not to end up with Smallwood. I think it was Ryan going for $31, or someone went for $31. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that hurts them all that much. I think Aaron Jones is the right play. It sucks that T.Y. Hilton's not going to go, but I'd be even fine throwing in Keelan Cole somewhere in there. So I'm going to give the nod to the slightest of nods to Joe in this matchup.
Yeah, I give the nod to Joe too. His team is just, I think, a little more explosive than Mike's. Mike, you know, between Gurley and DeSean Jackson and God forbid if Julio ever catches touchdown passes, you would think, right? But yeah. You know, this is the Falcons for you. They don't know how to use him in the red zone. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. I do favor Joe slightly, but wouldn't shock me in any way if Mike ends up with the win in that matchup.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it definitely can happen. Obviously, you know, Mike doesn't have Golden Tate, but Joe doesn't have Galladay. He also doesn't have Hilton. But at the end of the day, this is coming down to one matchup, which is it's going to come down to the Green Bay San Francisco matchup. And Joe's got two players in Rodgers and Jones. In that matchup. So Mike's are going to be decided fairly early. He's only got 2-3 guys that are going in the late games, in the afternoon and the late games. Obviously, Gurley is one of them as normal, but unless it's just a ridiculous number, we've seen Rodgers put up, and if he gets even one touchdown throw off to Jones, you know, all of a sudden that stack is going to become really important.
Well, I don't know that Jones is that big of a pass catcher, though. So I don't know that that's necessarily in the cards. When they throw, they usually like to have Williams on the field because he's very good in pass protection. So I'm not sure how that's going to play itself out, but we'll see.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Yelch and Johnny. Obviously, Johnny, I'm rooting for you hard here. I hope to God you just destroy Yelch. What else is new?
I think he's got a shot. I think it's another even matchup. You know, we'll see what happens Thursday with Barkley, Melvin Gordon, because Melvin Gordon has just been an absolute stud so far this year.
Yep.
I actually think Amari Cooper has a good matchup this week. I as an Amari Cooper owner from 2 years ago, I saw that matchup with San Diego and how bad Cooper was going to do from a mile away because Casey Hayward just locks him down whenever the Chargers play them. If I had owned Cooper in any league, I would have been sitting him last week because you could just see it coming a mile away. But he's playing Seattle this week, and Seattle's banged up, or and the defense isn't that great. So I could see Cooper actually having a good day on Sunday. We'll see. Gelch is going back with Chris Carson at running back this week.
Yep.
We'll see how that plays out for him. He's still ignoring his Denver running backs. He's keeping them on the bench and trying to field questionable trade offers for them. So we'll see how that works out for him. Whereas Johnny's got to put Fitz in his lineup this week, so we'll see how that goes for him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in terms of Fitz just not being what we thought he would be, as he normally is, obviously that's due to Rosen. He's hurt by the fact that Evan Engram is still out and has already been ruled out for tomorrow night's game. Obviously, his guy that he just got back, Mark Engram, is now on bye. So he missed the first 4 weeks. He gets him for a game, he loses him. Obviously, that was a critical play for him, though, because he got the win last week with Engram. Mm-hmm. So, but then he also doesn't have Marvin Jones, who hasn't been electric, but he's been
consistent. He's been fine, yeah.
So, you know, I think I'm obviously I gave the nod here to Johnny. I'm hoping that Barkley is good to go. Obviously, all the reports coming out have been that his injury that he sustained at the end of the Giants game last week was just more of a stinger, if anything. But he should be fine. So this is going to come down to two people, I think, for Johnny. It's going to come down to Fitz and Powell. If Powell has a decent game, if Fitz has a double digit game of any kind, I think Johnny's got this one.
Interesting that he's still sticking with Bortles at the moment over Russell Wilson. Bortles has a
against Oakland. I can see why you would want to start Russell.
Yeah,
Wilson.
I might if I were him, I might switch it, but I'm not him. So, and this might be the last week that James Conner is useful for Gelch. So. This could be it.
Crossing my fingers.
We'll see.
Yeah. Let's move on to your matchup going up against Jake. Jake's coming in 2-3. He's lost 2 in a row. You've won 3 in a row after starting off 0-2, so you're on a nice hot streak. Mm-hmm. What do you attest your win?
My receivers. They've and George Kittle. They've all been great. Hopkins has been fantastic. Woods has been fantastic. Beckham had a great game last week that helped me win. You know, it's been my receivers, and they've provided me a nice solid floor each of the last 3 weeks. I don't think I've scored below 120 each of the last 3 weeks. So they've been great. I like my team this week. I like some of the matchups. I still don't know who I'm going to start at flex if Geronimo Allison is trending in the right direction as the week comes on here, he might get the look at flex. But you know, it's a Monday night game, so I don't want to get burned by having him be a last minute inactive. So I might have to roll with somebody who's playing Sunday, like Anunua or Westbrook. You know, I picked up Ronald Jones off the waiver wire today. I was kind of happy about that because I think he might be getting a little more work in Tampa. And with Winston at quarterback, I don't know how that offense is going to change. We'll see. I'm not sure. So I think to me, Ronald Jones represents like one of the few question marks and guys with upside that was on the waiver wire who could potentially turn into something outside of a Wendell Smallwood this week. Jake actually has a lot of players this week going in the Thursday night game after picking up Smallwood. He's got Jeffrey, Shepard, and Smallwood playing this week. So we're gonna yep. see what kind of shape this matchup's in pretty early after Thursday night. I also have Beckham going as well.
Yeah, and you also catch a small break with Thomas being on bye.
I do, yes. So. And I also catch a break in the sense that Breed is banged up, but he did get Smallwood to replace him. So we'll see how that goes. And Freeman's back, so Coleman might not be as effective since Freeman is back in Atlanta. So
is he? Or is he banged up again? I saw a report today that he's dealing with like a bone contusion, so he might be limited and or out of this next game again. So you might end up not benefiting at all because Coleman might get all the work, and obviously
Bummer.
Mixon's back. Yeah, so that I'm not sure if he's going to go, but I mean, bone contusion usually to me doesn't mean you're necessarily in the best shape to go.
Yeah,
So.
that sounds not fun. So if that's the case, then I like Jake's chances a little more. I mean, Mahomes against New England on Sunday night. Andy Reid, traditionally in the in regular season matchups, I can think of like a lot of instances where Andy Reid offenses just carve up Bill Belichick. So I'm a very concerned about about that on Sunday night. But hopefully Dalton gets in a shootout with the Steelers and he could put up some decent numbers for me on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you need a 20 spot at least from the Red Rocket to keep up with the cracker that is Mahomes. So, all right, let's talk about our second and last matchup in Ryan versus O'Brien. Obviously, O'Brien's had bad luck. He's kind of had the opposite of you. After starting off 3-0, he's now lost two in a row. He made the great pickup of Eckler, but I don't think he's been playing him, which is, I think has hurt him. Obviously, he's got the number one receiver. Or was as of last week. I think he still is in Thielen. Obviously, Juju has been great. So his wide receiving core, similar to yours, is a great wide receiving core. He just needs his running backs to show up. And obviously, he has the unfortunate week that he's going up against Ryan when Kamara is on bye. So it's really just a question of, obviously, Carl had an amazing game last week on Ryan's bench. Will he reproduce this week similar numbers or even close to it? To give him some sort of production. Will Michelle again be able to produce similar numbers to what he did last week? Will Gronk finally catch a touchdown and be more relevant since he's basically been non-relevant since I think the first game of the season? So and he's got Greg Olsen in his lineup.
Yes, he
What
does right now. As of now, he does.
is Olsen slated to play?
I there were reports that he was very close. So yeah. There.
Okay, I mean, I'm looking at his bench. The only other person I would consider putting in the flex spot would be Drake or Funchess. So I
I
guess
mean,
if Olsen's going,
if Freeman
you
was
gotta go
healthy,
with
I would
it.
consider him in that matchup.
Yeah, what's interesting about Olsen's injury is that it's the same injury, it's the same foot injury that he had last year. And historically, with that type of injury, the player needs two surgeries for it to be fixed and then be healthy. It's always been the case, and this has happened multiple times, I think with tight ends. But maybe have some other players where they get that injury, they have the surgery, they come back, they re-injure it again, and then after the second surgery they recover. So hopefully if he is back to full go, he can be back to that receiving threat that the Panthers
I
really need.
also heard that, Chaz, a courtesy of your favorite fantasy analyst, Stefania Bell, who said that
Wow.
the chance of that break, I believe she said, was about of that re-injury was about 10%. So Olsen actually fell into the very long odds on that end of the medical spectrum that I think he had like a it was either 5 or 10% chance of re-injuring it, and he was just so happened to be one of those people that re-injured it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, especially when you're dealing with the feet, any injury to the foot, I mean, these are big players, right? Olsen is what, 6'4", 6'6", 280, 60 pounds, whatever it is. They're just putting a lot of power and a lot of torque on their feet when they're moving. So it's not surprising that a foot injury can be re-injured fairly easily. So I just, again, unless the luck favors Ryan this week, I just don't see how he's going to be able to pull it out.
He's making a very curious decision with his defense, going with a very banged up Atlanta defense against Tampa Bay, which has shown the ability to be an explosive offense this year. I don't know that I like that call, but we'll see if it works out for him.
Well, here's another fun fact for you. The Falcons have been averaging at home this year 34.66 points scored. They've also been allowing 34.66 points scored.
That
So
is a
to
fun
me,
fact.
I would not allow the Falcons defense to play in this game because that score, unless they get an interception or run back or a touchdown, is basically going to put him in the net into the negatives
Yeah.
with his defense.
And Joe's got a solid defensive play with Baltimore against Tennessee, who can't move the ball to save their lives.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about the final matchup, which is myself versus the Party Goopers. Right now, I am projected to get my ass kicked.
For 0 points. Bold move.
Yeah, it's just, it's rough. I'm lucky that none of my players are on Thursday, because that means I don't have to actually make a move until Sunday.
Well, you just have to
if
have,
I just had to make a move, I mean, or maybe I'll just let Joe, I'll
just
let Joe
fill out your lineup for you. I think that's what
I mean,
you
it's pretty
do.
Obvious who I would play, I feel like.
Oh,
so.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. I'm thankful that Drew Brees is on bye. Obviously, more he picked up Jamaal Charles today. That's interesting. For the most part, the group is forced into their starting lineup, and there's not really a lot of decisions they can make due to injuries and byes. So, you know, I look at this and I go, hey, you know, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen are fantastic. Nope, Cooper Kupp, number two wide receiver on the year so far, right?
Yeah.
Or top five. So, who saw that coming? He's number two. Jesus Christ.
He had that. He had one huge game.
He had one big game, which helps. Mm-hmm. You know, Carlos Hyde has been as consistent as he was in San Francisco last year, which is not favorable for me. I think that obviously the rise in Baker Mayfield is just helped keep that on track.
Yeah, and last week he didn't really do that great. He only had 8 points. Buck Allen had the same number of points as he did last week. I know because that was my matchup.
That's fair, but he's still running back number one right now at RB12. So mm-hmm. he's still an RB1, given everything. So, you know, I actually think that I've got a good shot this week given the matchups that I have going. Obviously, David Johnson against Minnesota and Zeke against Jacksonville are not the best matchups, but I got Cousins going against Arizona, so I think it's going to be. I think he's going to shred them. I'll likely be playing Morris against Green Bay. I'll play Lockett against Oakland. I'll play Ebron against the Jets. So I got a lot of matchups that I really like this week, including Anderson against Indy. So even with my tough matchups for my running backs, I still like how I will shake out. I still think I can give them a run for their money.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a competitive one. I think you're in decent shape for this one.
Yeah, so I think that's everything we got for this week. Any other thoughts or wisdoms you want to drop on everybody before we get into Thursday night's game starting
tomorrow? Go see A Star Is Born. It was very good. Would highly recommend
it.
B+.
I don't know if that's worth seeing.
B plus is very good. I mean,
Do you grade on that bell curve?
I grade straight up, so B+ is very good. To
give me,
give
me an example of an A+ movie to you.
Well, my all time favorite movie, Up in the Air, is an A+.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
Goodfellas is an A+.
Okay.
Yeah.
My cousin said
A+. Well, to me, I wouldn't say A+. I would say A.
A. Okay.
So B+ is the third highest grade you can get, A-, B+. So B+ is in the, I would say, the around 90 out of 100, 89 out of 100. So it's very solid. The soundtrack,
yeah, that sounds like my,
the soundtrack I would give an A. The soundtrack is fantastic. Yeah. I would say be prepared to see a couple songs from the soundtrack on Hino's 18 songs 2018. Yes.
Nice.
I was actually a little worried. I'm glad this soundtrack came along because before it came along, I was thinking to myself, man, I don't know that there's 18 songs that I really like enough in 2018 to put on a list, because I normally don't like to fill up the list with all the same artists. But this soundtrack came along and has given me a little more ammunition, so I'm glad for that.
Cool, cool. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to this week's. I think we're right in the sweet spot of our power half hour as expected. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and don't forget you can always leave us voicemails. We're definitely looking, now that we're getting into the halfway point of the season, we're definitely open for guest callers and for people to you know, jump on the podcast and be a part of it with us for an episode or two if you're open to it. So please let us know, and we'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.